Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's our feel-good fast Friday.
Afternoons on The Score.
You told me to my face you weren't a cop, man. I feel manipulated. I thought we were going to hang out.
We are hanging out, Badger. You like Badger or Brandon?
I like people who don't, like, abuse the Constitution.
Badger, listen. Hey, I'm trying to help you here, man. Now, if you just tell me your supplier is, I think this can end very well for you.
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete. What'd you say to Babyface, huh? Didn't you say anything stupid? By anything stupid, I mean anything at all.
I look at you, mouth open, vocal cords of Twitter.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Right now, you out. 10 minutes ago. Go on. There are laws, detective. Have your kindergarten teacher read them to you, right? Go grab a juice box. Have a nap. Go on.
You're going to get me off, right?
What do I look like, your high school girlfriend?
That's a joke, Brandon. Lighten up.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Welcome back in. McNeil and Parkin's on The Score, where this hour is brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. That, of course, from Breaking Bad. Badger, one of the comedic relief parts of the show.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
What's up, Matt Jones? Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate this.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Chris Tannehill.
Yeah, thanks for having me also.
Yeah, I
on
know.
This side of the, the glass.
And Tanny's just making changes to the studio. You're moving out chairs.
Well,
you're rearranging the studio.
It comes with sitting in this position. You want to change everything.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get rid of you soon enough.
I'm sure it'll happen. But so you're a big Bears fan, and you got a football
yes, sadly,
movie out.
I am a Bears fan, and but happily, I have a football movie out.
Yeah. All right. So the movie is Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
There's a limited theatrical release, but you'll be able to get it on demand November 15th. It'll be at Pickwick Theater on the 15th. But you're from California, so how'd you become a Bears fan?
My stepdad, who raised me, grew up next to where the Cubs used to have spring training in L.A. So he was a hardcore Ernie Banks Cubs fan. And I was raised a Cubs fan, and then we didn't have football in L.A. for like 25 years. So
right.
You had to, like, everyone in L.A. was some weird team. You'd meet somebody like, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. You're like, it's so weird. So I picked the Bears at a young age, and just sadly been a Bears fan for too long.
And you follow the team? I mean,
yeah.
They make it hard.
Yeah, they make it real hard to keep caring. Yeah.
So who were your favorite players growing up?
My favorite players growing up, I love Refrigerator Perry just because I was like a big, weird guy. My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manley, definitely.
No.
Come on. Yeah, Patrick Manley.
He's our favorite Bear of all time also.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Patrick Manley is on our pregame show. He's on the station like 7 times a week.
I love Patrick Manley.
No, you don't.
I swear to God, I even was
He's doing that improv
still,
thing again.
Yeah.
Me and my friend still text pictures of his website where you can learn
long
to be
snapper.
A long snapper. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get you in touch with Pat Manley. No
I
problem.
Want. I want a Pat Manley jersey. It's hard to find one.
Well,
I have to
I
get
do
one
too.
Custom yeah. made.
He's probably listening right now. We can have a Pat Manley jersey for you by the end of the segment.
I don't know. He was like him and Robbie Gould, like those guys. They were there for forever. Like I love those guys.
Yeah. We make fun of Pat because they just it's the 100th season of the NFL and the 100th season of the Bears, and so there were all these top 100 Bears lists that came out that all the different publications made.
Yeah.
He was the 100th greatest Bear on all of the lists.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
It's just exactly
that's
where.
Exactly where he belongs. Yeah, that's perfect.
So, Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
Is it exactly what it sounds like, the Thanksgiving game?
It is. It's a Thanksgiving game. It's about these guys that are in high school on a high school football team. The game gets snowed out, so they never finish the game, and then 20 years later, they try to come together and finish this famous football game. It's about guys who can't let anything go and they're still living their glory days in their head. And yeah, I fake, the main guy in the movie is Ryan Hansen, and we're trying to get him to come home for this game. And I'm play's best friend. So I fake my death to to get him to come home.
It's elaborate for a Thanksgiving game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a comedy. but it's I honestly, it's so fun and so stupid, and it's just a comedy. It's nothing like, there's no heavy thinking involved. Like, I don't know. I just really miss studio comedies, like just going to laugh. It's like Step Brothers stupid. It's fantastic.
Now, we had Jeremy Roenick in here yesterday. I'll pick that name up in a second. But he talked about how Vince Vaughn named his character Jeremy in Swingers after Jeremy Roenick. And your character's name is Mitchell in Turkey Bowl. You didn't name that after Mitch Trubisky,
absolutely,
did you?
Absolutely not.
Okay. No. Just had to get that out of the way.
Yeah. I didn't name him, but if I would have, I would have not named him Mitch.
I didn't think we were going to go there. I thought I was going to just... oh my God, I was about to say badger you, which God, is that terrible. But Patrick Manley just called in, and Pat Manley wants to talk to Matt Jones, a.k.a. Badger from Breaking Bad.
Oh, I have...
Number 65, what's up, man? You're on with Matt Jones of Breaking Bad fame.
Well, this is a weird phone call, man. Good to talk to you, Matt.
Yeah, good to talk to you. This is I'm fangirling right now.
Well, I'm doing the same thing, because I just watched El Camino about I guess it was a week ago.
It's
and that
so
was really
weird.
Good and loved Breaking Bad.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That is so weird that you know who I am. I was at a game.
I'm doing it the other way around. It's weird that you know who the heck I am.
I was at a game on the home sideline, and I took a selfie. I'd have to look through my phone of you from the back and me in the foreground at a Bears game. Yeah, really.
All right, this is weird. We got to go out and have a beer.
Absolutely.
That's our favorite side of Patrick.
Yeah, wait, so you took a picture with your face and Manly just
standing far in the distance. Yeah.
Wow, you are really fangirling. Do long snappers have many groupies, Pat, or is this a first?
I think this is a first. Oh, and it's not a bad one to have either.
No, it's great. It's great. Because I consider myself in the acting world like a journeyman. You know what I mean? You don't get the glory, but you try to just get a job. And you were a Bears journeyman. I always respected that.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well,
are you from Chicago originally?
No, I'm from L.A.
Oh,
LA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then how did you become a Bears fan?
I just talked about it.
I already covered that, Pat.
Thanks for listening.
I'll go back to the radio.com and hit rewind.
Oh, there you go. Attaboy.
Perfect. Well, so, Pat, do you have a Breaking Bad question for Matt, and then he can ask you a long snapping question, and then we'll let you go here?
I really don't. I truly enjoyed the heck out of that show. The whole thing is just awesome. It's a great it's just an awesome show. It's one of the top three that I've watched ever, and I just truly enjoyed it. And then El Camino coming out just added to that as well. And one thing, nugget is I own an El Camino.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I follow like the hashtag El Camino on Instagram, and all of a sudden you see the movie coming out, and I follow it just to see pictures of El Caminos, but obviously the show came out and it's taken over Instagram with the hashtag El Camino.
Yeah.
You guys are basically just doing the SNL skit to each other. Like, remember when you snapped that ball? That was awesome. Remember when you were in that movie? That was awesome. Pat, thanks for listening.
Oh, wait,
man.
Can I ask him a long snapper question?
Yeah, my bad. You'll have a better question than he
Who's your favorite backup to snap to?
Ooh, like the favorite punter?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, Brad Maynard and Adam Podlish, they're going to get mad if I call out
the others. Fine. No, but it's right in between.
Guys, they were outstanding. They made me a lot better than I was because they were so good.
Yeah, it was Brad Maynard. Let's be honest.
See you, Pat.
Awesome, man. All right,
thanks.
See you guys.
That's Pat Manley, pre and post, of course, right here on The Score with Pat Manley. Look at you.
That was cool.
Positively giddy.
Yeah, it was.
We'll put you in touch for beers later on. So what is the thing that people ask you about Breaking Bad the most? What is the thing that you hear the most?
Well, there's good questions and there's stupid questions.
I have those.
The biggest dumb one is, have you ever done meth? And it's like,
right.
No, I've never done meth.
Right.
Have you ever smoked meth? No.
Or snorted it?
No.
So take us back, from the beginning. What was the audition process? Did you have to audition for it? What was that like? How did you get involved?
Oh, boy, This was 2007, so we're talking 12 years ago. I auditioned on tape in a casting office. These really great casting directors in L.A., Sharon and Sherry, love them. And they casted me off tape, and they told me I was flying to Albuquerque to shoot a show with the guy from Malcolm in the Middle, who's doing a show in the desert.
Did this sound like a clunker to you? Like when
on the network, on a network called AMC? And I was like, I need a job, man. I don't care. And I went, and it became a thing.
Oh, yeah, it did.
But it wasn't. Like, the first 3 years, nobody watched it. Almost got canceled over and over and over. Because nobody watched the show.
Right.
Then it went on Netflix, and then it became this, like, supernova.
Your character had, like, an interesting, you know, arc on the show. You know, you were only in 12 episodes, I think, but you spanned the entire series.
What's that
like as an actor going through that? Like, you know, how far in advance do you know you're going to be in the season? You know, do you know what your fate is?
Well,
right until the very end.
We're getting into technical questions about the business, but when you're a series regular, you know you're going to be in most of the episodes, if not all. But if you're just a recurring guest star, you don't know until like maybe 2 weeks out. So you don't even know if you're going to be in the next season. Like Vince would be like, you know, we're going to keep bringing you back, but I didn't know if I'd be in 5 of the next season or just 1. So during that time, I was still doing commercials. I was writing to make a living. I didn't make any money to live off of doing Breaking Bad. People don't make money doing guest stars on television, by the way, guys. People don't know that. They think you're on television that you're rich.
Yeah.
My God, is that not true? but then once you're a series regular on a TV show, then you're rich.
Then you get rich. So I mean, it's a break for you, though, right? Because everybody sees your work, or is it not?
Oh, yeah, huge break. About the business, you just need to get legitimized into the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need to get drafted, you know. And then once you're drafted, then you can really play anywhere. But, yeah, once I got on that show, everybody knows who I am before I get into the room, which is great.
And you've done a lot of TV, a lot of movies, and you mentioned Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
What's it like being on a Vince Gilligan set?
I don't know. He's so cool. He's like a really soft-spoken guy from Virginia. He's so weird. He like is really into comedy. Like he really likes like kind of cheesy comedy. Like he loved Mad TV.
Okay.
Like over SNL at the time. It was like,
he's old.
He's just a weird dude. I don't know. He has all these weird old references that go over my head. I don't know. He's really fun, a really nice, fun guy. I've been on sets for comedies that are depressing and you're like, you're miserable. And then that show, it was a really fun, funny set because Bryan Cranston is such a funny guy, such a jerk.
Give us an example of Cranston being a jerk on set.
Okay. Oh, he liked to make fun of me a lot because it's Bryan and he makes fun of me because he's got this like weird, like he's a jerky stepdad vibe, which I love. And he's a comedian, so we'd, you know, give each other crap. And one day we're doing this at craft service and he's like, and they're like, Bryan, you got to go back to set. I'm like, okay. So he walks away and I swear a minute after he was just making fun of me. He did that scene where he said, I'm the one that knocks. And I was like, and he like cried a little bit in the scene or whatever happened. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that at all. He's like a really good actor.
Yeah. That's actually, you know, one of my favorite scenes in the whole show is the final episode where you and Skinny Pete are the two best hitmen west of the Mississippi. It's one of the funniest lines on the show when, you know, he hands you guys the stack of cash and he asks you how you feel about it now. And you said, oh, improving. You know, with your improv background, like, was that line written as is, or was it kind of just...
Honestly, that whole show, I never improvised. I maybe had a couple lines here and there. The Star Trek monologue, I think, like, I had, like, a sentence or two that was improvised, but it was mainly all written. They had a script supervisor that would walk up to you and be like, you said yo, it's supposed to be yo-yo, wah, and you're like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So that's how written that show was. They were very good at it. This guy, Peter Gould, wrote a lot of the Badger and Skinny Pete dialogue, and he's the guy that is the showrunner for Better Call Saul.
Okay.
So
Matt Jones is in studio. He played Badger in Breaking Bad and El Camino. His movie Turkey Bowl has a limited theatrical release, including the Pickwick Theater. That's November 15th, but you'll also be able to watch it on demand. So El Camino comes out, but it came out as a surprise. Like, basically no one knew.
We had no idea.
You had no idea.
I got a call all of a sudden, and then they were like, Vince wants you to come to his office. And I didn't even know what it was about. And I was like, sure. And he's like, they want you to read a script. And I was like, oh, this is a Breaking Bad like sequel. And I sat and read the whole script. And he's like, do you want to do it? I was like, of course, I'll do whatever you say. And then we shot it in like 2 months. And we stayed under pseudonyms in Albuquerque. I stayed under the name, it wasn't my choice, but Jean-Luc Picard. Skinny Pete stayed under the name Captain Kirk. We stayed, and they would like take us from the back of this hotel so no one knew we were in Albuquerque. We had like shrouds on when we were around driving in the car so people wouldn't see her. They tried to just keep the entire production a secret, and I can't believe, but they did. They really did. Nobody knew.
And so I remember reading that there's one script, right, for the secrecy. Like, you had to go read the script with Vince Gilligan. Like,
yeah,
he wouldn't mail it out to you or anything that?
Was, yeah. It wasn't just one. I don't think there was physically one script.
Yeah.
That'd be insane. But, like, they did not mail scripts out. No.
But congratulations, by the way, because out of, you know, the characters that come back for the El Camino movie, you're one of the few that actually still looks like how you looked when the show ended.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
That's true.
You and Jonathan Banks, I think, pretty much nailed it. So I don't know if you did extra work to get back into that.
No, I had to dye my hair. I had gotten really gray, but now I'm doing that Just for Men, guys. It works.
It does? Yeah.
By the way, I would love to do a Just for Men commercial. Give me a call. I need some money.
Do you give Cranston any crap for the bald cap that he clearly had to wear?
I didn't get a chance to mess with him because I didn't shoot with him. I did see him at the premiere. He's like, I don't know, he's an Oscar nominated, like,
yeah.
He's on top of Mount Rushmore of like TV people now. Like, he's got his own stuff. I see those guys every now and then. It was weird. It was like going back to high school. And if I was like, yeah, like an offensive lineman in high school. Like, not that cool.
Sure.
But, like, you're on the team.
Is it daunting in a way? Like, it's just this thing that people, I mean, hopefully you have a 50-year career and make a ton of money and all that. But you will be, for a lot of people, always associated with this thing.
And, you know, that's tough sometimes. But then I think about it, and that's the way other people are for me as a fan myself.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. Like, Big Puss from The Sopranos is always going to be Big Puss. You know what I mean? Like, that's tough.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Where do you rank? I mean, Breaking Bad had one of the more favorable, I think, fan reactions to the way it ended.
Uh-huh.
How do you rank it in terms of, you know, I'm not sure if you're huge into watching TV when you're not, you know, working, but as far as the Breaking Bad ending, you know, included with the movie if you'd like, but how do you rank that as far as great TV shows?
Yeah. It was really high up there. It was really high.
I think, like, so too.
Speaking of Sopranos, not a lot of people like the Sopranos ending. I really like the Sopranos
ending. I did too.
Game of Thrones was a horrifically bad ending. I think everybody will agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched 6 Feet Under. That was the best ending of all time. But I think the Breaking Bad one's really high up there. Yeah, for me.
So you mentioned you're making Turkey Bowl, and it's a it's a big dumb comedy, which we love, and you miss studio comedies. Why do you think it seems to be changing that those types of movies are not as viable or common anymore?
I mean, do you want to get real?
Yeah.
I think it's people are too politically correct, and people get offended too much by stuff. Like, you watch certain movies. What was I watching the other day? I can't remember what it was, but it was something where you're like, oh, they would never get away with making this now.
I mean, there's hundreds of examples of that.
You can't make that joke now, and it's really funny. And everybody's real afraid of pissing each other off nowadays. So comedies are getting harder and harder to make. I have a lot of friends that are stand-ups. I perform. By the way, I'm performing tonight in Chicago.
Oh nice. What?
At Improv Olympic tonight at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock. and Sunday night at 8, I think. I don't remember.
But people can find you at Improv Olympic.
Yeah, Improv
Matt
Olympic
Jones.
This weekend. I think people are afraid to piss each other off. And also people, their sense of humor are so specific nowadays. There's like really specific stuff you can watch. You know what I mean? Like, I think Step Brothers is one of the funniest movies ever. It's really funny. But some people really think that, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Something that's not funny.
Yeah. But they think that's funny. So I don't know.
And, you know, you were in The Office, and you know, a lot of the office contingent around here, like, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask.
Sure.
Do you think the character of Pam is a trash human? That's like like the way, you know, she did all the things she did, trapping Jim.
No, I thought they kept it pretty real. Greg Daniels, the guy that ran that show, he was really concerned about keeping the characters, like, you know, believable. Not everybody does everything perfect. I like when characters do questionable stuff. You know what I mean? I love that.
Sure. So you do stand up and you have the improv background. I was reading about Boom Chicago.
Yeah,
right?
Amsterdam. Yeah.
So I was reading an article with I think it was Seth Meyers was talking
Seth
about
did it.
Yeah, and it just, he said it was the perfect environment? Obviously, Chicago's known for it, second city and all that, but what's it like learning how to do improv in Amsterdam?
Well, all of us had learned how to improv before we were there. That's how we got the job.
Right.
But it was more of learning how to perform to like thousands of people at a time. I did 1,000 shows in 3 years in 20 countries. And like with people like Jordan Peele did it as well. People that were just, the people that they hired were all just so good. And a lot of them were Chicago improvisers that got the job. That's why the place was called Boom Chicago. I don't know. I just learned I'm not afraid of anything on stage ever. I don't get embarrassed. I've seen everything at this point. I've seen people puke on stage. I've seen people pretty much everything on stage. In Amsterdam, I've even seen people have sex on stage. So, like,
okay.
I'm just not afraid of anything. Yeah.
How was that?
That was amazing. I almost died like 1,000 times. I was 22 to 25 while I was there. It was I didn't go to college. That was my college, was Europe. Yeah.
And so do you take that into your stand-up? I can't imagine you're too afraid of bombing on stage.
I love when the audience doesn't like what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Go, leave then.
Sure.
What was the worst you ever bombed?
The worst I've ever bombed? Boy. One time I was at, we were doing a show at Boom Chicago's, 300 people in the audience, and they served drinks, a lot of drinks. And one night there was this table of drunken Scotsmen, just a bunch of Scottish guys. And they were so drunk and they would not shut up. So we played this game. We're like, everybody stand up. We had everybody stand up. We're like, this table sit down. This table sit down. We're like, you guys are the last table. We had them stand up. We're like, no, walk through that door. We just opened a side door and pushed them out on the street and shut the door. Then we started hearing banging and we thought they were trying to get back in. It was them all beating the crap out of each other.
So you incited a riot of some sort.
And the cops came. And then later after the show, they were all in our bar. Our bartender let them in. And then I got drunk with them all night and I made friends.
All part of the show, folks.
So I guess it wasn't a bad bomb. It was just like, that was what that experience was like.
Well, what are you doing at the Bears game on Sunday?
I'm going to weep for most of it. I'm going to scream, run the ball. I don't know what else.
You could coach.
I don't want to coach. I don't know. This city tears you apart if you're the coach. I feel so bad for Matt Nagy. Like, yeah, this is a tough city to coach in. Boy. My fiance's coming. Oh, by the way, she is the romantic lead in the Turkey Bowl.
Oh.
She's right next to me over here. And we met on the movie, and now we're getting married in April. Yeah.
Kristen, wow. Right?
Yeah. Kristen Hager. Yeah. She's on Condor on Audience Network. She's on a very serious show about CIA spy agents and all that jazz.
So you fell in love on set.
Cliche. The Hollywood cliche. It was mainly because we were drinking the entire time we were there.
That's fine.
Yeah. We shot in the middle of Oklahoma. There's nothing else to do. Have you been to Oklahoma?
Yeah, once by accident.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, there's not much.
No disrespect to Barry Switzer, who played the coach in the movie, but man, it's not great.
No.
It's not great.
Yeah, I saw Barry Switzer in the trailer, and, you know, one of our guys was coming up at the top of the hour. Wonder if you could find a role for him, possibly. Dave Wannstedt, who knows Coach Switzer very well.
Yeah,
that's right.
Anything for Wani opening up, maybe?
Switzer will let anybody do anything. If you know Switzer, he'll like let you walk up to his front door. It's insane.
Really?
Yeah, he lives literally across the street from the University of Oklahoma. Like, people just walk up. It's like, that's Coach's house. People, like, trick-or-treat there. Like, it's
just didn't want a long commute.
Yeah. He called ahead. We went to a restaurant and they're like, your meal's been paid for. And we're like, what? And like, coach called. And they don't even call him Switzer. It's just coach.
Of course.
Coach called and he took care of your meal. I don't even think he paid for it. He just called and said, comp their meal.
Of course. He eats for free everywhere.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Matt Jones, the movie is Turkey Bowl. You can see it at the Pickwick Theater on the 15th. Also available on demand. He'll be at the Bears game.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you so much. And thank you to Patrick Manley.
Yes, you got to meet Pat Manley over the phone. He's a good guy to have a beer with. Thank you. Thanks for coming in. That's Matt Jones. We got Dave Wannstedt at 4 o'clock. We'll bring Mac back in here. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.